Summer traffic is so bad that in a lot of northern cities, people joke there are only two seasons, winter and construction. And this year, orange cones and Jersey barriers may be ubiquitous as billions in stimulus dollars flow into concrete and asphalt. So what's the best way to deal with it? How do you work your way through, over, around, or under traffic delays? Our phone number is 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. You can join the conversation at our website, too. That's at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. Tom Vanderbilt joins us now from his home in Brooklyn. He writes the transport column at Slate.com, and he's the author of the book Traffic, Why We Drive the Way We Do and What It Says About Us. And Tom, nice to have you back on the program.
Great to be here, Neil.
And so how bad is it going to be this summer as all those stimulus billions work their way into lane repair?
Well, the word that's out there seems to be pretty intense. States like Pennsylvania are reporting record construction. Oregon is going to have the most road projects it's had in 50 years, although strangely that's not all related to stimulus, but I think across the board, state after state, there's going to be a lot of construction out there. The good news, of course, is that because of this same recession that's prompted the stimulus, there's going to be a lot less driving going on, about 30% drop in some peak areas. So it sort of balances out in a way.
Well, a 30% drop in some areas means you have a half-hour delay instead of a three-hour delay.
Exactly.
So it can be a mixed blessing. Nevertheless, you talk about engineering approaches to avoiding this situation, including the one they use in Europe where they say, don't worry about going from four lanes to three lanes because you're fixing one of those lanes. Use the lane that's the shoulder.
Yeah, exactly. They'll just basically try to keep those four lanes intact and just do a little bit of creative restriping and go into sort of an area that wouldn't be used otherwise. And, you know, they have much denser road networks there. They have less room to play with. And we do that sometimes because the bane of a lot of traffic and, of course, of construction zones is the merge. And getting two lanes to merge smoothly into one is a very sort of stressful experience. And, you know, the thing about a construction zone is that if you have a two-lane highway and you lose one lane, you're of course losing 50% of capacity right away, but you're also losing even more than that in the existing lane because of all those merging maneuvers. It's not very efficient, and as drivers out there know, people can get into little, you know, sort of arguments, and it's not as smooth as we might expect. So one way is just to avoid the merge whenever possible, but again, that's more of a European thing.
And there's a lot about merging and hostility in your book, Traffic.
Yes, I mean, one study by Texas Transportation Institute found drivers reported merging difficulties were the thing that they found most stressful about traffic. So, again, these work zones, and people have played around with different strategies to get traffic to move more slowly, move more effectively through these work zones, or at least less stressfully, through things called the dynamic late merge or early merge, and they all sort of have their backers, but they all have their own particular set of problems, and it just kind of hints at the complexity of traffic. But,
Now, how do you deal with construction delays? 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. And let's talk with Kevin. Kevin with us from Sacramento.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Thank you. Well, I'm a construction worker, so I leave out at like 6 in the morning, and I'm at work at 6 in the morning, and the freeways are pretty much empty during that time period. So my suggestion is that we move our society to a more of a time period where we're filling the freeways when they're empty. You know, we need to get people from clogging all at the same time to using the freeways when they're empty.
And that's one approach. You write about another one in your piece for Slate, Tom Vanderbilt, and that's, do most of the repair at night.
Yeah, that's something that has really and the caller raises a good point, and this is something that engineers have been talking about for literally decades. People were talking about this in Los Angeles, for example, in the 1920s, if we could just stagger work hours. But as far as construction projects, it's become a rarity to see a rush hour construction project, or indeed even a construction project during the day, because in these sort of congested urban regions where there's simply no more space to add capacity, when you're doing a construction project, you have to do it during the day would so negatively impact the traffic flow, they've basically shifted to nighttime construction. And I know you're thinking, well, doesn't it cost so much more money to pay overtime to these workers and all that? And indeed it does, but the models seem to show that when you sort of compare that to the benefit you're saving by not tying up all those people in rush hour traffic, the government seems to come out ahead when you do sort of nighttime construction, or indeed on weekends, in which they'll often shut down the entire facility rather than try to squeeze in those work crews on one lane while the traffic whizzes by.
And that could be dangerous for construction workers, too. Kevin, I'm sure you've experienced that.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I have. But like I'm saying, I think more that if we were to get businesses themselves to change their start times, whether there's construction or not, there's still traffic jams. And we need to do something about it to keep people from sitting in traffic, wasting gas, wasting time, you know, wasting basically productivity.
Now, you've got a point. And here in the Washington, D.C. area, the Beltway that we talk so much about in political terms is a nightmare for traffic. They do all the repairs as much as they can at night, but that means you can hit traffic congestion on the Beltway at 2:30 in the morning. Tom Vanderbilt, you sort of expect it at 5:30 in the afternoon. 2:30 in the morning could really drive you bats.
Yeah, I think that's one of the worst things about construction. And this is called by engineers non-recurring congestion. I mean, there's certain congestion that we sort of expect as commuters, a certain bottleneck, a certain place where it's sort of always bad. But then you get these things like work zones or crashes, and this is these non-recurring things, the events that are somewhat random, and they really sort of send our normal commuting patterns into you know sort of haywire. So that psychologically impacts us a lot more, I think, than the stuff we've become basically psychologically accustomed to.
Kevin, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Let's see if we can go next to, this is Bill. Bill with us from Flagstaff.
How do you do? Yeah.
Go ahead.
I handle that merging traffic just like a lot of truckers do as well. We just merge over a little bit into the left lane or the right lane, as the case may be, and block any of these people who want to come speeding up and cause the congestion to start with. It isn't the fault of the construction that's the problem. If people followed the rules and the law, there wouldn't be the congestion that there is, and that's my feelings on it.
If people followed the rules and the law, Tom Vanderbilt, we wouldn't be human beings.
Exactly.
Well, I'll tell you what, that's not true either, and that's the way it is. We're all in this boat together, and we've got to kind of work together to get things solved, you know. That's why that's probably the idea that a lot of people have. We can do what we want, but it isn't true.
Well, by blocking both lanes for a little period, aren't you doing what you want?
I'm blocking the lane just so the idiot that's coming up at 60 miles an hour to get ahead of everybody else at the merging traffic isn't allowed to do it.
Aha. Uh-huh. So you're the
that's
cop.
Right.
You're the cop. Okay.
Well, yeah, we are the cop. Think about it. I live in Arizona. Maybe you people back east are a little different. We'll see you later. Bye.
All right, Bill. Bye-bye. Here's another email we have from Arizona. This is from EJ in Tucson. Here we're going through our third summer, at least, of the major part of Interstate 10 being closed. ADOT, which I assume is the Arizona Department of Transportation, decided that if they closed down I-10 for 3 years to fix bridges, etc., they could get it over quicker than spreading it out over 10 years. They made the frontage roads do the work of allowing the bulk of passing through traffic keep flowing. It should be done soon. But that raises a point that, in a way, we're reaching the end of the designed lifespan of a lot of the interstate highway system.
Yeah, and that's what sort of caused a lot of the shift to these alternative construction techniques, because you had all of this stuff sort of ending at once, and yet at the same time when driving was just taking off and congestion was really increasing in American cities, so more novel solutions had to be come up with, including this thing, which is what the email just referred to, is the full sort of facility shutdown. And it sounds sort of counterintuitive, where how can you shut the whole thing down? But it actually turns out to be much faster than the traditional technique. One reason is simply that the people actually working on the site, the dump trucks hauling gravel and all this, don't have to sit in the same congestion to get to the work zone as all the other drivers during rush hour traffic. So just one of these solutions that's sort of been put out there.
Let's go next to Larry. Larry with us from Appleton, Wisconsin.
Yes, thanks for taking my call.
Go ahead.
I missed the conversation, the trucker from Arizona. Is there a nationwide rule, or is there a common rule about the merging process? In other words, I heard him mention something about blocking the other lane, and I see that happening. And it seems to me that as soon as it's recognized that you have to merge, you should merge rather than taking advantage of people being in the line and zipping on ahead.
Yeah, Tom Vanderbilt, one of your theses in your book, Traffic, is that, in fact, there are no accepted rules for when we should merge. Some people want to rush up as far ahead and merge late. Some people want to merge early. And because nobody agrees, it's a mess.
Yeah, and you know, going state by state, there's different ways that it's handled depending on the construction site. And, of course, traffic is a very dynamic system. So when the highway is moving along at sort of a free flow 65 mile an hour sort of condition, it really does make sense for everyone to merge early and not sort of go to that bottleneck and cause trouble. But then when you get into that really congested sort of stop and go situation, engineers have suggested, well, maybe it's not a good idea to vacate that open lane early, a mile ahead of the actual bottleneck, and go down to a single lane. Maybe you should take advantage of that extra road capacity and have people do a one-on-one merge at the bottleneck. Some studies have suggested that that is actually more efficient. I mean, as with traffic, there's a lot of complications here, such as the number of trucks in the traffic flow and other things like that that really only engineers care about and understand. But, you know, a lot of detail that needs to be taken into account. It's not sort of a simple, this way is right, this way is wrong.
Larry, how bad is the situation in Appleton?
Oh, I haven't noticed any, actually. We do have some construction going on, but this has been over long term. I've noticed this. And so is the answer then there is no nationwide or even statewide rule?
No, I mean, if you see the average construction site, there might be, you know, a sign might say merge right 1 mile. Even that's an ambiguous statement. Does it mean merge right in 1 mile? Does it mean merge right now? Merge right somewhere in between? It's sort of a very, you know, abstract system. And some of these new dynamic late merge strategies, for example, will have signs saying take your turn at the bottleneck, merge one-on-one, do not merge early. But again, these have been only quasi-successful because some people don't want to change the old behaviors or what they think is socially acceptable for a more efficient traffic system.
Larry, thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
Tom Vanderbilt is the author of Traffic, Why We Drive the Way We Do and What It Says About Us. His recent piece for Slate, Men at Work, How Much Does Road Construction Really Snarl Up Traffic? You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. David's with us from Tulsa.
Hello?
Guy, you're on the air.
I'm on a road construction project right now. I'm in a dump truck. I'm sitting still so we can make a good connection. But I'm right outside of Tulsa working on a county road with stimulus dollars, no less. And in some of these county roads and such, there is no alternative way. But I know in the larger towns and such, if people would just be a little creative with GPS and all, they're doing a major construction project on a highway that loops around the city of Tulsa. It's called the IDL. I think it stands for Interdispersal Loop. And they've been announcing that they were going to do this construction for a week to give people plenty of time to prepare and such. So I think if people would pay attention to that, that would be helpful to them. I know with us, we just have to work with the residents and try and accommodate them and they in turn accommodate us. Mm. And there's always going to be the gripers.
Yeah, yeah. Tom Vanderbilt, GPS, is that a technological solution to some of this?
Well, it does bring up that issue again of closing down an entire facility or perhaps a couple lanes of a heavy freeway during a weekend, for example. What they then have to do is really, you know, go out and educate the public ahead of time, set up these sort of flashing signs that really give clear instructions on what the detour is. And another strategy, of course, is just to essentially scare people from not trying to drive. I mean, just, and engineers have sort of told me this, you know, kind of off the record, you know, we'll sort of say it's going to be worse than it is so they can actually make it not as bad as they think it might be. And there's something called, that's been referred to as the sort of it'll be all right by Friday, meaning that when a sort of a new construction project comes in, the traffic gets sort of screwed up right away because no one quite knows what to do with the new routes they have to take. But after a few days, everyone sort of gets used to the new sort of layout, and things sort of stabilize, and the routes sort of equal out. But again, it can be chaos for a few days. And motorists also play a guessing game trying to beat the traffic forecast. Is it going to be as bad as they say it will be? Some of the best days to actually drive are those first days of a heavy construction project because everyone thinks it's going to be absolute mayhem, and sometimes it's the exact opposite.
David, be careful out there.
Okay, thanks.
Appreciate the call.
Yeah.
Here's an email that we have from Marcy in Columbus, Ohio. Road construction season has officially begun. One of the major streets through my part of town will be under construction for the next 3 months, causing huge disruptions in traffic flow. It made me especially thankful that I commute by bicycle and therefore do not depend on the road like so many people do. Thankful, that is, until I started getting so many flat tires from biking through the construction zone. So obviously there are alternatives to driving either biking or walking or public transportation. Those are all viable alternatives that people might ordinarily be reluctant to do and might adopt during construction delay time. That's going to be pretty much the whole summer. Let's see if we get Steve-O on the line. Steve from Grand Lake in Michigan.
Hello. Great to be on the show. My comment is every time I know that there's going to be construction, it's like the other guy said, I do find creative ways to get where I need to go. And the best thing about that is you get to know the area better, and you might pass by another local business that you didn't know about. And, there's no need to stress yourself out in traffic and just enjoy yourself, put on some NPR and...
Yeah, it's often been said that the delays in traffic during rush hours morning and evening, and of course construction's a large part of that. Well, it's NPR's best friend, so we appreciate that. Steve, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. It is a moment to consider satellite radio or audiobooks or something like that. Tom Vanderbilt, remind yourself that patience is an important part of controlling your emotions while you're driving.
Exactly, and like the caller suggested, sort of getting back to these sort of maybe these original roads, these old sort of Route 66 roads that you've never been on. Although, sometimes those can sort of have their own effects. I remember when the Dan Ryan Expressway in Chicago was being worked on, which was shut down for quite a while. Some of the local businesses in the areas adjoining that were wondering if they were going to get more business. What actually happened was the traffic became so bad, no one actually wanted to go to those areas to patronize the businesses. So it was kind of an unintended consequence. Just one of the ways that traffic, you're never quite sure how something is going to play out once you do something like a major infrastructural project.
Tom Vanderbilt, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you.
Tom Vanderbilt, join us from his home in Brooklyn. He's the author of Traffic and writes the transportation column at Slate.com. You can find a link to his article, Men at Work, at npr.org/talk. Tomorrow, Elmore Leonard has been writing novels for over 50 years. He joins us to talk about his latest, Road Dogs. Plus, Ask Amy's Amy Dickinson will be with us. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.